Congratulations.
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
We're reporting to you from inside of a secret bunker out here in Oakland, Chinatown.
And if it sounds like we're being a little bit quiet, it's because we are.
Maysoon, you saw that show out there at Gallery 16. What's up with it?
Sure enough.
Haven't talked about them too much on the show, though I do appreciate them.
So, just hold on one second.
Griff is who runs that place, right? Griff Williams.
That's correct.
And I believe his dad was some kind of political operator back in the day. Buddies
really?
With the Clintons and all the Democrats.
I know a few people who actually have like family history working with the Democratic Party. Like
all the
Demis.
Demi
Moore.
We can
interview some if you're interested in that kind of a story. So Gallery 16 has a pop-up gallery right now at Minnesota Street Projects, and they have a show that's called Remainder, and it's kind of all work that has to do with text or with books specifically. And the show is work that I believe they have in their collection or work that people made at the studio years ago. So it kind of spans a number of years, which is kind of interesting just to see work from like the 90s to work to more recent. And it was a good show. It was interesting. There were some...
Who were the artists?
It's a whole slew of them. A whole slew of like people.
What did it look like?
People I remember. It was mostly, I would say mostly painting, mostly wall work. There were a few...
Like what
sculptural
kind?
Sculptural pieces. Like what kind?
Still lives.
There's like Libby Black, let's say.
Oh,
Libby
yeah.
Libby Black was in it. Ala Ekdabar was in it.
Was it Libby Black paintings or sculptures or
both?
Nice.
But just like one work.
She
together.
Does a lot of paper sculptures, listeners.
Yeah. There was a Sean O'Dell piece that the gallery assistant showed us, which was a book. I believe it was an encyclopedia where all of the pages, all of the text on the pages was painted out with black paint, like this really kind of basically matte black paint. And so all you could see were the images in the sort of encyclopedia. But there were some really lovely moments where you could see the text faintly underneath the paint. So sort of like a ghost text. That was a lovely piece. And the gallery, you weren't supposed to touch it, but he came and showed it to us, which was really nice of him.
VIP treatment.
VIP. But
Sean O'Dell. Interesting guy.
I don't know that much about him. I just know that he's been in the Bay Area art scene for a very long time. I know he's good friends with some folks we know.
Went to Stanford.
Did he?
I think so.
Oh. So, but that show, for listeners who may be interested in that, I guess, subject matter, is up through July 31st.
Nice.
At Minnesota
Street
Project.
About another week or so
here,
people.
Just about another week.
Speaking of Minnesota Street, they're having that book fair, that book fair.
All right, everyone, I'm here at Minnesota Street Project.
Talking into a muff
with Patricia Maloney. We're here at the Art Book Fair. Patricia, you're here representing for Southern Exposure at the book fair. How's it been going today?
It's been going really steadily. Like, it's nice because we are the very first booth into the fair. So when you
What a coup.
I know. When you walk in, come by, say hello. So we definitely feel like we're part of the welcoming committee. And it's nice. So we, you know, get to see everybody coming through. And there have been a lot of people coming through.
You know, when I pulled up, I was just like, I don't know if I can go inside. It looks too crowded. I was like
kind of panicking, but it was actually okay inside.
As crowded as it is today, there were far more people here last night. So that's the other advantage of being up front, is that it's apparently like 20 degrees cooler up here.
You're like, thank God. So what do you guys, tell me about what you have on the tables.
Pretty exciting.
It looks like a lot of stuff. The table we're in front of right now is stuff I actually recognize from when I worked at SOEX, which is pretty awesome.
We climbed up into the loft and we're like, what do we have here? And it's amazing because we unearthed two limited editions, box sets, one from the year 2000, which features a hand-drawn edition work by Chris Johansson, and one from 2004, which was our 30th anniversary box set, and that's Todd Heido, Libby Black, Nigel Poor, Jennifer Wofford, Bird, Sean McFarlane. The list goes on. Amy Franceschini. It's pretty incredible. So those are like two serious edition works that we're offering, but we also have all of the posters from the project that we did with Machine Project in 2012, and which is, you know, 20 events, 20 nights. You remember that one, don't you? Yeah. A great selection of Southern Exposures publications, and then also publications by our alternative exposure grantees.
So many publications coming out of Southern Exposure.
There are.
What's the philosophy?
I think what's, you know, what's great about publications, especially like the way SOEX works, you know, where we're developing projects for artists, what's nice about the publication, it gives you a sense of how, not just the project's realization, but how it evolved over time, like the thinking that went into it. Featuring projects by our alternative exposure grantees, it's like a really nice opportunity for us as well to have these like objects in the world that represent some of the support that we offer to artists. I always think about publications as trying to like continue the dialogue around the work that an artist is doing, as well as creating an archive, you know, so that you realize that, you know, once the exhibition is over, you still have this entity that carries it forward into the world.
So I'm back again. I'm here with Lydia from Hess Press. They're a press based out of LA.
So Hess Press, we publish 4 books a year, mostly working with artists who have some kind of photographic processes involved in their work. So it could be someone who's working mostly in performance or even like a painter, and some are more straightforward photographers, but somehow photography is incorporated into the practice. And then the book is a way of sort of including whether it's like the source material or the documentation that happens after with other images of the work, or sometimes it's based around a more specific project. So there's kind of a range of things, but that was one of the sort of fundamental things we were looking at with the press.
And how does it work? Do artists come to you, or do you kind of curate? Do you pull people in from the community?
Yeah, so I have only joined the press recently. It's basically run by Claire Kelly and was also started by Claire in collaboration with John Weiss, who is a noise artist. That's his background, and he's also the designer for the press. And Claire does... she's a photographer and also a performance artist. So it's kind of an interesting, like it sort of has been their peers, people they've admired. And because they have kind of interesting different backgrounds that are, you know, not necessarily intuitively related to publishing so much. And so it ends up being like an interesting combination of all sorts of practices that end up being represented through the books. So mostly started out with Claire and John reaching out to friends, but then at this point, now that people in LA know what the press is, sometimes they'll receive proposals and stuff like that.
Yeah. Very cool. But one of the things we often talk about is how a lot of artists in the Bay Area are moving down to LA because it's more affordable, and because the Bay Area is outrageous right now. And so how are you seeing that sort of impact the arts community down in LA? It's sort of like this feels like a pretty large move of north to south.
Yeah, well, I grew up mostly in Berkeley. Claire, who runs the press, happens to be from San Francisco. We both ended up in LA for school. And then stuck around. But it's definitely, I mean, I feel in LA, I feel like we're like on the receiving end. I've spent some time recently in the Bay Area and also in New York, and it's really palpable, this like migration. And it's, you know, it's complicated, and there's things that are great about it. It looks like so exciting when an old friend moves to my neighborhood, or yeah, when there's like new energy coming in. But it also is like, I've been in LA for like 6 years now, and I've seen competition for housing and studio space and stuff, you know, totally blow up. So it's a mixed bag, but I love being in LA and I understand why people want to be there. Yeah. So who am I to say like who's allowed to come and who's not? No, it's something I think about a lot because, you know, it's especially because I grew up here and like feel sad about some of the things that are happening here, and that I now a lot of my friends from childhood and stuff have moved back here, but I don't really see that as a possibility. It's happening all over, and I feel like I'm sort of in the thick of it in LA right now. Yeah. So
on a maybe cheerier note, another thing we often sometimes do a segment in the podcast is called the Bay versus LA.
Oh my God.
We're one of us, Kate usually champions the Bay and I usually champion LA, and it's silly. But if you were going to choose like one thing about the Bay Area that you felt like was better or like something that you really miss when you're down in LA, and then we can do the reverse too for LA to the Bay, just for fun.
Yeah. The thing that I miss, like I know immediately, is tap water.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
I do drink tap water, but I maybe shouldn't. I don't know.
You're probably going to be okay, but maybe not like don't make it a long-term habit.
Well, it's just like I feel safe there, but the tap water here is like nectar. It's amazing.
It really is.
And then in reverse, I love the feeling of the sort of vastness of the city. It's amazing. And the fact that I feel like I've already, just in my several years there, I feel like I've tried out so many different like ways of being there, because it's just there's such a like so many like possibilities for how you can live down there, and it's just like feels very exciting and new all the time. So
awesome.
It's recording.
All right, we're back here at the San Francisco Art Book Fair, and I have with me Neat. Do we call you Neat or Vanita?
Both is fine.
Neat
or Vanita.
Neat or Vanita Moran of Alcave Books. Hello, Neat.
Hi, nice to see you.
You too. How's it going? Tell me about how it's going. Been going this weekend.
It's going really well. It's been really busy. Everyone's really excited about the book fair. Really good vibes. Selling lots of things. We brought lots of publications from England, so we've sort of given a different peek of some of the stuff we have. So yeah, it's been good.
Any talk about the Brexit?
I'm trying not to think about it too much because it's too depressing.
You're like, please no, don't.
But you know, lots of sympathy.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I've noticed a lot of butts in the book fair today. Have you walked around at all? There's a number.
I haven't walked around as much as I'd like to because I'm at the table. But really, like, you mean like?
I mean, not human, not live butts, but like butts printed.
Oh.
It's been kind of interesting.
Okay, so it's trending. Butts are trending.
I think naked butts are trending.
We don't have any butts at our table, though, so.
Give me a sense of some of the things that you have on display or that you're selling today.
So we're working, co-curated our table with our friends Luminous Books in London. So she sent some really good small and independent presses from London. So that's kind of exciting because it's publications that don't normally get seen in the US. One of our kind of goals of Alcave is to have publications from England that don't really get seen here. And then when we do book fairs there, we take American publications. So it sort of gives a chance for like artwork that wouldn't normally be seen. Luminous Books co-curated that with us and sent some really great stuff. And then we also ordered from some of our friends in London, like Claire Daroon Books, who are a fashion bookshop and publisher. Bookworks UK, who publish theory and artist books. So a nice selection of kind of what's happening in the UK right now in publishing. So yeah, it's good. And then we have a few small American presses too.
When you're looking for books, like what are some of the elements that you're looking for?
It depends on the fair, because we do try and buy for the audience a little bit. But expanding consciousness is kind of our main goal. So anything that will bring something new and maybe have people think about things in a different way. We're total theory nerds. We love reading theory. So we're much more likely to buy a book kind of documenting some kind of like exploration or research than, you know, a coffee table book with nice photographs.
Right.
We're definitely a more theory-based bookshop. But really, it's just something that excites us and feels different is really what we're going for. So that can kind of surprise us too sometimes. So no set agenda really, just what feels like radical and interesting and is going to challenge things. Anything feminist.
Awesome. Love that. So you have, I feel like as long as I've known you, you've had Alcave books, and I don't know if it's, I'm sure it's been longer than that even.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that, the start?
Sure, yeah. We started in 2008, so it has been a while. We started when our friend Marvin Gaye Chetwynd had an exhibition at the Royal Academy in London, and she invited me to come and do something, and I decided to do a feminist book swap. And I just brought all these cool books and asked people to bring them anything feminist or related to feminism or feminist research. And after it happened, a lot of people were like, that was great. Are you going to do more book stuff? And it sort of evolved from there. I was also the bookshop manager at the Institute of Contemporary Arts in London at the time. So I was spending all my working day in an art bookshop, working with artists in an institution. So a lot of publications came our way that we didn't sell at the ICA that didn't feel right for the shop, but I didn't want to miss them getting out into the world. So that's kind of how it started. It was like this intersection of feminism, sort of radical spaces, and, you know, seeing artwork that wasn't kind of getting shown anywhere else. Yeah, and we've been doing it since then. We're like a traveling bookshop, so we don't have a physical full-time space, although we have had in the past. But we just do pop-ups and art fairs and book fairs and gallery shows and whatever comes our way that sounds good. And yeah, back to expanding consciousness. That's our main goal.
Have you seen like people's interest in books or in art books or in all the books you work with grow or shrink? Or how have you seen that shift, I guess, the interest in these books shift over the time?
Yeah, I've definitely seen it grow. I feel like there's more focus from less book or art world people on books. I think because I've worked in the book trade for so long, most people who I know around me are interested in books. So for me, I've always felt like, oh, everyone loves books. Everyone loves art books. But then you go like on a broader kind of visit of other places, and I think maybe sometimes I realize that they're not as supported. You know, there's all the stories of bookshops closing and it being hard to make a living doing that, which is true. But I think just like people will never get over like the printed page. You know, like we like our devices, and I love books in PDF format. Yeah. I love reading on my Kindle, you know, like I like technology as well. It makes things more accessible sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think we'll never stop wanting books and making books.
I'm here with Jessica from Basement. Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
Tell me a little about this Basement group.
So the Basement is an artist studio in the Mission in San Francisco. We've been there for, I think it's about maybe five, six years now. It was started by Jesse Siegel and Ross Waitman, Maciej Makalowski, a lot of SFAI graduate students who found like a storage unit and incredible rent for a space that we've turned into like all of our own personal artist studios.
What are you guys doing here? Tell me more.
So the book fairs have been awesome. This is really exciting for San Francisco to have its own art book fair like now, and it's going great. We've been doing various art book fairs. We've done New York for the first time last year.
Awesome.
And we go to the LA Art Book Fair, have tables set up, and it gives us like a really awesome deadline, you know, to get to work and make some stuff that you can sell and like have it not be so expensive. But yeah.
Are those fairs, I know this fair was curated specifically, invite only. Are those fairs similar, or can you apply, or how does that work?
The other fairs are by an application basis, and it's through printed matter.
Yeah.
And so it's open to the public, but then it's curated based on like what the application system is. I think for this first inaugural book fair, it was going to be more of like a curated situation, but I think that I have no idea actually what the future will hold for the process.
I heard they were going to open it up for people to apply, and then they'll have probably a panel where they select people. So your booth is particularly eye-catching. There's like penises on the table. I mean, not actual penises, but like images of penises on the table. You have this like series of t-shirts that are puns of artists' names like Agnes Barton or Jackson Pollock's. And there's a real kind of like, you know, devil may care kind of attitude about the art world, which I always appreciate, and so I just wanted to have you talk a little about that, or maybe tell us also about some of the works that you're presenting today.
Okay, those t-shirts are made by my studio mate Mitsuo Kubo. It's awesome, and he is really hustling right now and has like a crazy work ethic and is always putting out like new stuff, and it just comes out of him. And yeah, he's been making these t-shirts. It started with like him translating drawings into screen prints and then putting them on shirts, and they were popular. And so now he's like going into these artist names and sort of just twisting them around in more of a visceral bodily function kind of way. And yeah, they're great. Got a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Have you seen anything? This will be my last question for you, so we can get back. Anything today that's been super inspiring, like as far as other work on the other tables? Or
I think the thing that's been the most inspiring for me so far is just seeing this fair come together. Luca and David Kasperzak at Kolpa, they sort of really helped organize it. And I'm just really inspired that it's happening and that there's so many people here who are interested in like an art book fair in the city. And I don't know, San Francisco's been having a difficulty, I think, in really fostering like a healthy, thriving art community. And you know, you got LA and you got New York, and they've got their art book fairs, but San Francisco, you know, we've had our fairs, but this feels really cool. I don't know. I like it. And everybody's got a really good energy who's here, the people who are looking at books, and some of these tables are familiar from LA and New York, and it's nice to see them here, and yeah, I'm looking forward to more, so yeah.
Awesome. We're back at the Science Fiction Art Book Fair. Just kidding, everyone. That science fiction stands for San Francisco. I'm here with Luca. Luca, what's your last name?
It's Antonucci. That's how my mother would make me say it.
From Kolpa Press.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Tell me, I want to hear about Kolpa Press and what you and David do, what your ideas are. Yes, we'll start there.
Yeah, I founded it actually with Carissa Potter in 2010. And we started out, we had this residency at Kala in Berkeley, which is a print studio. And we started out doing these, we were printing our own work, and then people just started asking us to print their work. And so it sort of like naturally developed into a business. And then once we were doing that, we were like, oh, well, we don't only want to print work like for hire, we want to publish work.
Yeah.
And so then at a certain point in time, Carissa wanted to focus more on her business and her art practice, and started another company, People I've Loved. And right around that time, I met David, and we decided to continue Kolpa and focus on art books and prints, but also treat it as a curatorial practice, whether that applies to books or exhibitions or objects. We just work together with artists on making things.
So Kolpa Press was fairly involved in helping to organize this art fair as well.
Yeah,
is that true?
It was an idea that David and I had, and we had just been doing all these fairs, and like the mostly the LA and the New York Art Book Fair, which were both organized by Printed Matter, and we just had such like a good experience at both of those fairs, and it felt like we were actually reaching our audience for once, which is something that I think is really hard for art book publishers. And so we wanted to try and replicate that feeling here in the Bay Area, because we had a lot of friends who published books here, and a lot of people were asking us like why there wasn't something like the LA Art Book Fair here. And so we just decided to do it. When it was like really young, we talked to Jamie about it, and he was like, I've wanted to do that forever too.
Jamie from Park Life.
Exactly. And so Jamie and Derek came on board, and we worked on it for a few months, and then approached Minnesota Street with the idea, and they were like, we'd love to host it. And so that became the team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So is this something that's going to be planned like annually? Is there like, in my mind, I'm like, is this something you hope like Printed Matter will want to pick up, and they'll have like a San Francisco version of the, you know what I mean? Like, will they just like be like Printed Matter is taking over the book fairs in the States?
No, well, we really wanted it to be like autonomous, but we asked Printed Matter to do it, and they had a conflict in their schedule. But Shannon, like, to be honest, like I couldn't have done any of this without Shannon and Jordan, who organized the LA and the New York art book fair, along with the whole staff at Printed Matter. But they helped out so much, and they wanted to do it, and they're gonna try and we want to do it every year.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll be with us next year, and beforehand. But we want to keep it to ourselves just because for us, like we want the focus to remain on San Francisco. And I love people coming in and bringing in publishers as we get to know them, but also like still making sure that the Bay Area publishing community is represented,
yeah,
so that people feel like there's an audience here for their work and that they're represented by, he's making faces at them, and that they can connect with their audience first and foremost, and then also bring more people into that kind of family.
Yeah. What was the, so there are a number of book or publishers from LA here. What was the sort of criteria? What were you looking for as far as bringing those folks out?
To be honest, this first one, it was like...
They're just our friends, man. It's cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the truth of the matter. And this first one was so... It was such a rush time schedule for us because this was like an open period that Minnesota had in the schedule. And so we decided to do it by invitation. And it really was just publishers that we admired and were friends and also that were just available to do it because it was such a short turnaround.
Yeah.
That it was really a lot to ask for people who were traveling here.
Right.
So I'm super appreciative to those people because like it really was like you have 2 weeks to decide.
Yeah.
And people are just like, ah.
Yeah.
But we're going to open it up to applications next year so that we like have people contacting us that we wouldn't have necessarily have thought of.
Yeah.
And also I just want to know about all those people.
Yeah.
So it's really just the limits of our knowledge is the problem.
Right.
But that's why you have fairs like this. Like every time I do one of these, regardless of the city, you just get to know more and more publishers out there and which ones you like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if people who might be listening want to apply or like put their application in for the next year's book fair, where should they go? How do they find out?
It would be sfartbookfair.com, and we'll release the application and then we'll do like a little media blast telling everyone that it's online.
Cool.
And it'll be more of like, I hate to say formal because it's just like us seeing what we like, but you know, it'll be more of like a jury, like, which is how we did this one. But this time, you know, like that application process, as I said, is just, it's important. I want all those people who feel like they wanted to do this year to apply next year,
because
that's when we know about them and can make that decision and include more people. And it'll be bigger too. So.
Is it going to be in this space again?
We're still trying to figure out the best space for it, but I want to keep it here. It's just about like being able to expand it within and what place makes sense for that.
So not the Moscone Center or anything?
No. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, like we like Minnesota is so great because for them it was like they were just so excited about this event that we didn't have to like, you know, like have to confront a lot of the problems that, or not problems, but like logistics that a lot of these fairs have to deal with.
Finding a venue is a huge, huge, huge deal.
Yeah, and so to have an organization like them that really supports these kind of projects and isn't like, you know, like this will be $50,000 for the weekend, you know, like to have them not be like that and just be really supportive is priceless. Really.
Yeah. And it seems like, I mean, a lot of the galleries who have spaces here also have their publications out, which is nice. So everyone's sort of involved.
Yeah. And we wanted to make sure to include them or whoever wanted to be included. Yeah. And so that was great.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Luca.
Yeah, of course. Anytime.
Be doing something out at the Headlands in the fall.
October 16th.
Some kind of live thing. I think we're going to do some kind of live recording of the show. I just want to put it out there. If you guys have anything you specifically would like us to do, what is there something you'd like to see from us? Some items you want us to bring?
Cool. Yeah.
Some questions you'd like us to pose to the Headlands world?
Yeah.
You know, do you want us to interview a turkey? Because I won't do it. So don't ask that.
I might try.
Maysoon, they are vicious and
I know,
dangerous.
They're pretty dangerous, I've heard.
Extreme, they could cut your jugular vein. All birds have claws.
Talons.
Claws like...
I think they're even called talons.
Like ninja stars. Anyhow.
And listeners, you should, you know, if you want to come hang out, we would love to have you.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That'd be super fun.
So all things going as planned, that will be on October 16th.
That's going to be a Sunday.
At the Headlands Open House.
From...
Is that the open house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From 12 to 5.
How do you know that?
Because that's when it always is.
You're amazing.
We have to be there at 10, though.
So, anyways... Oh, if anybody else is traveling, so I'm traveling in the next few weeks. I'm going to LA with research assistant Katie Kondo, and then I am traveling cross country with my mom.
What are you guys doing? Are you going to any land art pieces?
I want to stop by Omaha, where I'll be living for 3 months because I will be getting that residency this year.
God, I thought you got it. That's amazing.
No, not till the end of September.
Congratulations.
That's when
Kate.
I hear. Thank you. Because I will be getting it, so I'll take that. Congratulations.
Cool.
Anyhow, are you a traveling listener? I'm going to be going out to LA for a week.
I am.
And then I'm going to be going cross country, headed over to New York, where Second Floor Projects is having kind of a little satellite kind of show thing.
What?
With, out there in New York. I forget all the information
is
about
out there?
But shout out to Margaret Tedesco. If anybody has suggestions of things I should see, send them over. Also, if you have some kind of segment or contribution that you would like to make, send us your proposals, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com.
We'll pay you.
We sure will. Well, May soon. I hope that I am not abducted while I'm out there.
I hope you don't get too many mosquito bites.
But I hope for no mosquito bites and lots of lightning
of fireflies.
Bugs. Yay.
Oh, I'm so excited.
But until then.
Will you take some pictures?
From the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.